Last Sunday evening, I began a lesson looking at what Christians can accomplish by following the words of the Holy Spirit. I want to conclude those thoughts this evening in a lesson that I've entitled, By the Spirit. We're looking at what Christians do by the Spirit. That phrase means instrumentality, manner. We do something in a certain manner or with a certain instrument. And we live and act each day by the Spirit. He helps us to accomplish these things. Then, and last week, we spent our whole lesson just looking at being led by the Spirit in Romans 8 and Galatians 5. This evening, we're going to look at the other things that we do by the Spirit. But if you'll turn back with me to Romans chapter 8, I want to recap something that is very important, not only for last Sunday's lesson, but tonight's lesson. And if you missed last Sunday night and need to listen to that, we would encourage you to do that. It's on our website. Last Sunday evening, we looked at Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God." And we spent our time last week noticing that if you go back to verse 2, you learn how it is that we are led by the Spirit. Verse 2, the law of the Spirit of life. We are led by the law. Write that down. We are led by the law. We are led by God's law. And God's law is also mentioned in verse 7. That's how the Holy Spirit leads us. By obeying and following His words. And this evening, I want us to begin with that point because this is a very important point. All of the things that we're looking at this evening are done in the same way. All of these things that we're looking at this evening are done by the law of the Spirit of life. We're going to talk about several things that we do as Christians by the Spirit. And all of these things are done by following the law of the Spirit. So last Sunday night's lesson was foundational. The leading of the Spirit is by the law of the Spirit. All of these things that we're looking at this evening are done in the same way. And so what we want in our lives, brethren and friends, is to open our hearts to the leading of the Spirit's law. Open ourselves up to be led. If you've ever gone somewhere where you had a tour guide that led you around a museum, or they led you around a factory or a park or anything like that, if you paid to go in and someone was a tour guide, this is someone that has information that you need. This is someone who has direction that you need. And it's important, especially if you pay for it, to follow the guide, to let them guide you, to get your money's worth for that particular event. As we go through life, we need to be open to the leading of the Spirit's law in our life. So let's look this evening at these things that are done by the Spirit and by His Word. So let's begin this evening with Romans chapter 2 and verse 29. We're going to look at several things. Unfortunately, we're not going to spend a lot of time on these things. I just want to go down through them and make you aware of them. These are the things that we do by the Spirit. The first one is that we are circumcised spiritually by the Holy Spirit. Paul has been talking here in the latter part of Romans chapter 2 that to the Jew in particular, it's not the keeping of the physical circumcision that makes one a Jew. What makes one right with God under this dispensation is obeying the gospel of Christ. So look at Romans chapter 2 and verse 28. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, physical outward circumcision. Neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision that is of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but of God. The first thing I wanted to mention with you in this passage is you may have a version that has a small s, spirit. In the spirit, not in the letter. This would be one case in which spirit needs to be capital S. It needs to be the Holy Spirit here. And the reason is, there's two other places in Paul where he contrasts spirit and letter. The other one is in Romans chapter 7 and verse 6, and then in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And both places where he contrasts spirit and letter, it's the gospel that comes from the Holy Spirit, and it's the old law that comes from the letter. So in Romans chapter 2 and verse 29, Paul says that we are circumcised in or by the Spirit, Holy Spirit, when we obey the gospel, not in the letter. We are circumcised, not a physical circumcision. What is this circumcision? Well, Paul, turn with me to Colossians chapter 2, where Paul tells us what that circumcision is. Colossians 2 in verse 11. You were also circumcised with a circumcision not made with hands in the putting off of the body of the flesh, in the circumcision of Christ. How, Paul? Having been buried with him in baptism. So when we're baptized into Christ, that's the point at which we are spiritually circumcised. What? What is circumcision? It's a cutting off. The spiritual circumcision in the heart is when we're cutting off that old man of sin in baptism. And Paul says in Romans 2:29, that it is done in, or literally, by the Spirit, not in the letter. It's done by the Spirit when we obey the gospel. You're not going to be circumcised in the heart when you obey the letter, the old law. Paul is talking to the Jew at the end of Romans 2. You're not going to be saved by following that old law, the letter of the old law. It's going to be by the Spirit when you obey the gospel. So the first thing is that we are circumcised when we obey the gospel. That old man is cut off. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8 and verse 13. Another thing that we do today by the Spirit is we put to death the deeds of the body by the Spirit. Paul writes in Romans chapter 8 and verse 12, so then, brethren, you are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. We talked about this last week, this contrast between flesh and spirit. Flesh here is not physical skin. Flesh here is the desires of man that want to run contrary to God's Word. And so we can either follow the flesh, what we think and feel and what we desire, or we can follow the law of the Spirit, His words in our heart and life. So verse 13, if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. Here's another thing that we do by the Spirit. When we follow the law of the Spirit, each time we follow that law, we put to death the deeds of the body. So here comes a temptation, and I'm tempted to do something that the flesh wants to do, but I follow the law of the Spirit, and I say no to that. Every time I do that, I put to death the deeds of the body. And the more I do that, the less the deeds of the body want to come up each day, because I'm always, always being led by the words of the Spirit. And when you're in that situation, when that temptation comes up and when that desire comes up, often we know what the Word of God says. We just choose not to follow it at that moment. But if you will put to death the deeds of the body by the Spirit, follow His words. His words are good for you. His words are good for me. Follow that. We say no to that, and you'll find that in that moment or on that occasion, when you do that, after a little while, that desire is gone. It leaves. I have followed the law of the Spirit, and I have put that to death. And then the next time it comes along, do it again. And the next time it comes along, do it again. And after a while, that the deeds of the body, we have put them to death. It doesn't want to come back. It doesn't want to come back. So let's do that each time. We put to death the deeds of the body by following the words of the Spirit. Here's something else. turn with me to, chapter 8 and verse 14. We looked at this last week, so I will not go into this in detail again. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And I made mention last week that you have to go back through, just take your Bible, go back to verse 13, then go to 12, then go to 11, then go to 10 and 9 and 8 and 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. You get all the way back to verse 2, and it tells you how you are led by the Spirit. The law of the Spirit in verse 2 is what the Spirit uses, verse 14, to lead you. It's not, and some brethren bring this up, it's not some mystical pulling or prodding or pulling us in this direction or some help other than the Word of God. It's not that. You'll hear that today even among brethren, but that's not what Paul says. Paul says we're led in verse 14, and he tells us that it's by the Spirit's law in verse 2. Let's be open to that leading and to that guiding. We talked this morning about walking humbly before God. Let's be submissive. And our daily Bible reading, which we need to be doing, when we read something, we're going to be open to that and let the Spirit lead me. When God brought the Israelites out of Egypt, He wanted to lead them by day and night, all the way to the promised land. And He did that. And when He brings us out of the bondage of sin, and our dividing point is not the Red Sea, our dividing point is baptism, He wants to lead us all the way to the promised land. And He gives us that leading and that guiding through the law of the Spirit. Let's be open to that. Let's be open to that each and every day. What else? Turn with me to Romans chapter 14. We have joy by the Spirit. You know of anybody who's not happy? You know of anybody who is constantly grumbling and complaining and sad and depressed and, stressed out and all of that kind of thing? My prescription to them would be, and I say this seriously, my prescription to them would be, read your Bible more. We don't think about this, but we have joy by the Holy Spirit. If we're not truly at being rejoicing and having joy in our life, we're not being led by the Spirit. Romans chapter 14 and verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in, your version might say, but it's still what we call the dative. It's the dative of means. The Holy Spirit is doing this. And so we have righteousness, peace, and joy by the Holy Spirit. On our PowerPoint up here, I could add righteousness and peace in with this point. But righteousness, peace, and joy come by following the law of the Spirit. If I'm not happy, I'm not following His words. I need to follow His words. And His words help me in all kinds of situations. When things are going well, when things are not going well, there's all kinds of scenarios that the New Testament deals with. And when I read those words and apply those words, I will truly have joy. How? By the Spirit. By the Spirit. It's not going to come with money. It's not going to come with things. It's not going to come with material types of things. Joy is going to come by following the law of the Holy Spirit. And in our scripture reading tonight, one of the fruits of the Spirit is what? Joy, right? And peace. So, let us be a more happy Christian and let the Holy Spirit and His words make us happy. Again, a good prescription for someone who's not happy is just to read their New Testament more. While we're here in the book of Romans, turn with me to Romans chapter 15 and verse 16. Romans 15, 16. We are sanctified, which means to be set apart from the sinful things of this world. Again, it is done by the Spirit. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 16, that I should be a minister of Christ Jesus unto the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be made acceptable, look at this, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. We're set apart each day when we follow the words of the Spirit. His words tell us how to stay away from sin. And it's not just staying away from something, but being dedicated and committed to God. Sanctification is staying away from sin and drawing closer to God. And you find a Christian who's got worldliness in them. Yes, they still come to church and they still sit in a pew, but during the week they've got worldliness in them. That's a Christian who's not being sanctified by the Spirit. They're not being slowly pulled away from the sinful things of this life by the words of the Spirit. It's very possible that there could be a Christian who attends all kinds of Bible classes and all kinds of sermons and things like that, but they're very worldly. They're not letting the words of the Spirit move them away from sin. We've got to constantly do that. After we become a Christian, there needs to be a sanctification, a setting apart, and it doesn't happen in some mysterious way. It happens simply by following the words of the Spirit. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We are united by the Spirit. In a local church setting, we're all baptized into one body. And it's great. It doesn't matter what walk of life we come from. It doesn't matter what our background is. It doesn't matter our nationality. It doesn't matter our gender. It doesn't matter our economic status, our educational status. None of that matters. When we're baptized into Christ, we're all unified and brought together. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12, "For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body being many are one body, so also is Christ." Look at this. "For in one Spirit," or literally by one Spirit, "were we all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether bond or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit." When we follow the words of the Spirit that tell us to be baptized into Christ, we will be unified. And that's a great thing. There are so many people today that are divided. We sit here unified. We're unified on the one doctrine of Christ. We're unified in our mission. We're unified in our goals. We're unified in how we want to live and how we want to have marriages and raise our children. When we follow the law of the Spirit, first of all, we will be baptized into the one body of Christ, and we will be unified. There are a lot of people that talk about, well, what does it take to bring people together? What does it take to unite people? Well, I'll tell you what it takes. Ultimately, it takes everybody following the words of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament and being baptized into Christ. And that will make us all one body. When I get an opportunity to go different places in the world, I see different economic situations. I see different skin colors. I see different physical backgrounds, what people have. But do you know what is the same everywhere? What is the same? We're all unified because we're Christians. And the thinking is the same. The love is the same. The concern is the same. People are trying to live the same lives. It's a beauty to behold if you get a chance to go somewhere else and see that there are people just like you and me all the way around the world that are unified and the same. And it's the one Spirit that brings us all together. The words of the one Spirit that bring us all together. What a great thing that is. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 3. We have a message that is written on our hearts that people can read here in Clarksville. And the Holy Spirit's words in the gospel are transferred to our own lives, and we carry out those words in our lives. We live those words in our lives. And so we're like a letter that people can read. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 2, "You, the Corinthian brethren, are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men." So first of all, the Corinthian brethren were close to Paul's heart. They were in his heart. That's how close they were to him. But then he says, they were an epistle of Christ read of all men. When the Spirit's words are carried out in my life, people at job, on our jobs can read them, and at school and out in the community and at the store, read of all men. Being made manifest that you are an epistle of Christ, a letter of Christ. Look at this. Ministered by us. Paul was there in Corinth and preached the gospel. Written not with ink, but with or by the Spirit of the living God. Not in tables of stone, but in tables that are the hearts of flesh. When the gospel is truly living in our lives, we are like a walking letter. And yes, we do eventually need to talk with someone about the gospel and have a Bible study with them, but often it begins by them reading us, if you will. We're a walking letter by the way we talk and dress and act and think. And those words, Paul says, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Where is it written? Not in tables of stone, but in the tables that are the hearts of flesh. Our heart is like a piece of paper, and the Holy Spirit's words need to be on that paper. That was back when letters were paper. Now it's email. It's all electronic now. But maybe you remember a paper letter. And let's let those words be written on our hearts. That's what we talked about this morning. The importance of a religion that's from the inside out. Yes, God wants externals, but it's got to start on the inside and go out. Let's let those words be written on our hearts. We carry a Bible in our hands, brethren, but make sure those words are written on our hearts. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 3. The way we begin our spiritual life in Christ is by following the words of the Spirit. There may be someone here this evening that needs to begin that life in Christ and be baptized into Christ. How do we begin? When Paul brought the gospel to the area of Galatia in Acts 13 and 14, and he preached the gospel to them, that allowed them to make a spiritual beginning. And maybe now at this time of the year, we need to make a spiritual beginning. And Paul writes in Galatians 3 and verse 3, "Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit?" Literally, having begun by the Spirit. That's how you begin. That's how we begin our life. That's how we get started on the right road to heaven. And we need to help those around us to get off to that right beginning. Are you now perfected in the flesh? Some of them were wanting to go back and follow the old law, which had a part of it as circumcision, which was in the flesh. Having begun by the Spirit, do you now want to be perfected, completed, by going back to the old law? It's a rhetorical question. No, you don't want to do that. And we've got to help people begin their life. Somebody says, well, I've really arrived. You know, I've gotten older and I've started a family, so I've really begun to live. No, you haven't begun to live until you become a Christian. Or I just got a new job, or I just got a new house, or I just got this, or I got that. Boy, I've really begun to live. No, you haven't begun to live until you become a Christian. And so we've got to help people to begin that life, and it's the same for everybody. Beginning by the Spirit. How? By obeying those words of the Holy Spirit. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Paul mentions something else here that we need to understand and that we do by the Spirit. After we begin by the Spirit, after we begin our spiritual life by hearing, and by the way, in that same passage, in the verse right above it, verse 2, the hearing of faith. That's how we begin. It's the hearing of faith. That's how we begin by the Spirit. When we hear His words and we have faith in those words. Turn with me now to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 5. Here's something else we do by the Spirit. In fact, you're doing it right now. And every day we get up and we patiently wait for God to work in our lives and for His plan to be carried out, and we're waiting for Jesus to come again. Every day we do this by the Spirit. Chapter 5 and verse 5. For we, through, or literally by the Spirit, we through the Spirit, by faith, wait for the hope of righteousness. Here's something else we do by the Spirit. We wait for the hope of righteousness. And sometimes it gets difficult waiting. Have you ever had to wait on something? You're waiting for something to finish cooking in the oven, maybe. Or you're waiting for the microwave to ding, or you're waiting for this or waiting for that. Sometimes we get a little bit impatient. But we're waiting for the hope of righteousness. It's the hope, the one hope of heaven, that comes about by living a righteous life. That's the hope of righteousness. It's the hope that comes about by living a righteous life. And we wait by the Spirit for that hope. And so there's going to come days where we have to simply trust the words of the Spirit. We read our Bible and He tells us how to wait. He tells us how to be patient. He tells us how to work through difficult times and difficult situations. And so by the Spirit, we wait for the hope of righteousness. He tells us how to not be impatient. He tells us the good that takes place. For example, if you were to read the Spirit's words in Hebrews chapter 12, He would tell you that when you go through life and suffer difficult kinds of things, it's for your good. It's a discipline like a father does to a child. And it's for your good. And it's going to lead to good things. But we've got to read those words, and then He will help us to wait for the hope of righteousness. He says things to help us deal with death. He says things to help us deal with loss. He says things to help us exercise self-control. He tells us in 1 Corinthians 10 that any temptation that comes along, God gives me a way of escape. That helps me. So, we wait for the hope of righteousness by reading the words of the Spirit, and He helps us with that. Come on down to chapter 5. We live every day and we walk. Walk here is used figuratively of living the Christian life. And so in verse 16, walk by the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And come on down to verse 25. If we live by the Spirit let us also walk. This is how we live each day. When somebody asks you, well, how do you live the life that you're living? Say, by the Spirit. And then go on to say, I follow His words. I don't follow culture. I don't follow what the experts say. I don't follow what the PhD people say, and the scientists, and the experts, and the statistics, and the mob, and the educators, and you name anybody you want. Those people don't lead me. They don't guide me. The words of the Holy Spirit guide me. That's how I'm living. That's how I'm walking each and every day. And when I do that, look at verses 22 and 26. How do you know? How do you know that you're living by the Spirit? When you produce the fruits of the Spirit. I'm going to be a loving person and joyful and at peace. I'm going to be long-suffering when other people are short-tempered. I'm going to be kind when other people are ugly. I'm going to be good when other people are bad. I'm going to be faithful when other people, you can't trust them. I'm going to be meek and exercise self-control when everybody's out of control. That's how I'm going to live my life. And I'm going to do it by the Spirit. And by the way, read verses 22 and 23 again. How do you know about those things? You're not born with the knowledge of those things. How do you know about love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and so forth? How do you know about that? By reading your New Testament. The words of the Holy Spirit tell you how to love. They tell you how to have joy. They tell you how to have peace and long-suffering and so forth. The words of the Spirit tell you how to have those things. That's how you have those things. You don't buy them at a store. You don't look them up on your phone. And so when I'm reading the words of the Spirit, He's going to tell me how to show love and joy and peace and so forth. And that's how I'm going to live. That's how I'm going to walk. Verse 26, let us not become vainglorious or proud, provoking one another, envying one another. Listen, the world's going to live like that. That's how they're going to live. I'm not going to live like that. And so by the Spirit, I'm going to live and walk each day. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. I'm sealed by the Spirit. Ephesians 1:13. Paul uses a word here that likely has a double meaning. A seal or a stamp that was used in the New Testament, first of all, was used to authenticate something. If a person's seal was on a document, it showed that that person authorized or wrote that document. A second way that a seal was used was to show a guarantee of something or a surety of something. And so when we obey the words of the Spirit, we know we are guaranteed that we are right with God. We are secure, we are guaranteed, and we belong to Christ. His stamp or His seal is on us, if you will. So look at Paul in Ephesians 1:13, in whom, that is in Christ, you also having heard the word of the truth. You underscore that in your Bible. We're learning how the Holy Spirit leads us, and in this case, seals us. Again, it's not some mystical inner feeling. Look at it again. Having heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom Christ, having also believed, so you've got to hear the word of the truth of the gospel, you've got to believe it, act upon it, obey it, you were sealed with or by the Holy Spirit of promise. The seal is a guarantee that you are a Christian. How do we know that we are really Christians? How do we know? It's not a feeling. It's not some inner feeling. When we have heard the word of the gospel and have believed it, and as Paul uses that word elsewhere, obeyed it, we are sealed. We are guaranteed. Turn with me to Romans 8 and verse 16. This is how we know that we are children of God. Romans 8, verse 16. We did not touch on this much last week. I was saving it for this point. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. How does He do that? How does the Holy Spirit bear witness? How does anybody bear witness? They speak up. When they say things in a court of law, if someone bears witness in a court of law, they stand up and speak up. Or they're taken up front and they sit in the box up there by the judge and they give their testimony. The Holy Spirit bears witness how He gives His words. They're in the New Testament. With our spirit, we have obeyed those words. We've heard those words. We've obeyed those words. I know that I'm a son of God. The Holy Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I am a child of God. It's the same thing in Ephesians 1:13. When I hear and believe and obey, I am sealed by the Spirit. He tells me through His words, I belong to Christ. What a great thing that is. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. Paul in the same book of Ephesians says that I'm to be filled with the Spirit. I love this figure. And hopefully each and every day as Christians, as we go through life, we're trying to fill up more and more in our life. Like a full glass of water where you can't put anything else in there. Try to live each day where we are filled up. And the more the Spirit is filling us up, the more we're putting to death the deeds of the body, the more that other stuff is going out of us, and we're just filling up. And Paul says that we are filled by the Spirit. So, Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunken with wine, wherein is riot, but be filled with or by the Spirit. And then look at what he says. The statements that are made following this show how you're filled by the Spirit. Speaking. Singing. Making melody. Giving thanks, subjecting yourselves one to another. I've made this point before on this passage. Look at all of these ing words. Look at all these ing words. Paul is telling you how to be filled. He will often do this. He will often give a verb or a command, and then he follows it up with these participles. There's five of them here. That's showing you how to be filled. When you are constantly speaking one to another, singing, making melody, giving thanks, subjecting yourselves one to another, that means I'm here to serve you. When you're doing those five things, you're being filled with the Spirit. And all five of those things are not done by some mystical or mysterious thing, but when you and I follow the words of the Spirit. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. Just a few more and then we'll close. We pray by the Spirit. Ephesians 6:18, after talking about putting on the whole armor of God, with all prayer and supplication, praying at all seasons in or by the Spirit, and watching thereunto in all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Turn over to Jude, verse 20, where Jude mentions the same thing. Jude, verse 20. But you, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in or by the Holy Spirit. Do you know that we pray by the words of the Holy Spirit? The words of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament need to fill us so much that that becomes the content, the thought of our prayers. Our prayers are based upon words from the Holy Spirit, concepts and doctrines and words. I've been wanting to do this for some time, and I will try to get to it as soon as I can, but I really want to do a lesson on praying Scripture. You don't have to speak out and answer out loud, but who is the brother in this church who, when he prays, is just full of Scripture? Who's the brother in this church that when he prays, there's just Scripture all over? Everybody knows who that is. That is great. And I talked with him the other day about this. It's fascinating. It's great. And we actually have in the Bible where people pray Scripture. So I want to try to get this lesson together sometime. It's a great thing. When we're praying Scripture, I don't see how you could pray by the Holy Spirit any better than that. You're using His words. His words are giving you the content of your prayers. So we pray by the Holy Spirit. His message in the Scripture, His words, are giving those thoughts to say. What a great thing that is. If you've ever gotten to a spiritual dry point in your life and you're thinking, you know, I don't know what to pray for these days. There you go. You got a whole bunch there. Matthew to Revelation. And He will help us say things as we pray to God. We worship by the Spirit. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3. And this is one area of the life of religion that is very much out of whack. I wish people more would worship by the Spirit. Today, people are worshiping by what they think and feel. And so everything comes in the name of religion. And you look at all of these denominations throughout town, and the worship services are all different. There's all kinds of stuff. And there's things in there that are not seen in the New Testament. You think, where is this coming from? People are worshiping by their own human wisdom. People are worshiping by their own feelings. We need to worship by the Spirit. We need to worship by the words of the Holy Spirit. The words of the Holy Spirit tell us how to worship and what's pleasing to God. And so Paul writes in verse 3, "For we are the circumcision." This is a reference back to Romans 2:29, the spiritual circumcision, We are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God. Your version might say, who worship God by the Spirit. Either way, it's the same point. And glory in Christ Jesus. We don't worship based upon what we think or feel. We go through the New Testament and we find what the Spirit says that New Testament Christians were doing to worship. That's how we worship. Somebody says, well, I don't see any instruments there at Warfield Boulevard. The Spirit hasn't told me to have those things. I don't see women preachers, and I don't see a praise band, and I don't see a chorus and a choir and a bunch of other things, because the Spirit doesn't tell us to have those things in His Word. And so, if we're going to worship God in spirit and in truth, John 4:23-24, we need to follow the words of truth, we need to follow the words of the Spirit. And that's how we worship. It's not based upon what we think or feel, but what the Spirit tells us to do in order to worship. And then last of all, one final one, Colossians 1:8. Colossians 1:8. And we could always use more of this in our lives and in the world around us. We love by the Spirit. Colossians 1:8. When Epaphras was reporting to Paul about the Colossian brethren, Paul writes in Colossians 1:8, who, Epaphras, also declared unto us your love in or by the Spirit. Of course, it makes sense because one of the fruits of the Spirit is love, right? One of the fruits of the Spirit is love. Let's love one another by the Spirit. It's going to be a genuine love. It's going to be a sacrificial love. It's going to be a caring love. Brethren, there are so many things that we can accomplish. If you go back down through that list, maybe just keep it handy. Think of it this way. Think of what I can accomplish each and every day with the Holy Spirit's words helping me to do these things. I'm doing these things by Him. What a great thing that is. What a great person it will make me. And what a great thing it will help me accomplish with those around me. Maybe this evening you need to begin by the Spirit. Come and obey the gospel and be baptized into Christ. Maybe we're here this evening, someone has not really been walking or living by the Spirit. And we can help you to change that and do better with that. What a great to have a member of the Godhead on our side with His words, which are very powerful words. Think of what we can accomplish. What a great thing that is. We don't want to ignore the Holy Spirit. We don't want to have this approach. Well, let's not talk about Him, or we don't know anything about that, or we don't want to do this or that with Him. No, we accomplish so many things by the instrumentality and the means and the manner of His Word. We can get so much good done in our life. Let's go out and do those things. And if we can help you to begin that life this evening, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?